Today on Real Radio.
She said in verse 6, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave. He brings up. The Lord makes poor. He makes rich. He brings low. He lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Who does? God does. Why? He's got a plan.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're covering a pretty large portion of Scripture today, parts of chapters 1 and 2, and there's more than one takeaway from here. First, we learn that spiritual warfare is indeed real. And secondly, we read of Hannah's prayer, which has a striking resemblance to the prayer of the mother of Jesus, a fascinating part of Scripture indeed. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Worship at War.
When the demons possessed the seven sons of Sceva, they said, hey, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you guys? Hey, I think if your name is known in hell, that's good company. If Jesus' name is known in hell, and if Paul's name is known in hell, then I want my name known in hell. That's what I want to see in my life. The second thing we notice is that God's warfare that he wages, it's not up for human debate. Well, let's talk about it. You can debate things until your arm falls off. You can discuss and tweedledee and tweedledum this and the other thing and waste your time while the forces of darkness prevail. Hannah trusted in the Lord. You can see how in verses 8 and 9, she makes this wonderful, wonderful declaration. She says, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. Man, the Holy Spirit is on this woman, and she's speaking forth the truth of God. By the way, I want to commend to you a kind of a neat parallel study. You look at Hannah's declaration and go to Luke's gospel later on, not now, and look at Mary's declaration. They're side by side. They're almost exactly, if not word for word, idea and declaration, the same. Why? It's given by the Holy Spirit. It's not up for human debate. Listen, you guys, can you grab your Bible, please? Do it for me. I need this. Can you lift up your Bible for me, please? Can you just hold it up? Oh, look. Can you look around? Oh, my gosh. Look how awesome this is. Thank you. I needed that. Thank you very much. You can put it down. I'll tell you the reason why I had you do that, because we have just found out this week that there are absolutely no laws in the United States that stick. You can negotiate and argue your way around any law. There's no absolutes anymore in America. There is no binding law. I had to see you raise your Bible because this is the absolute. I needed to see it because I've seen how this week our Constitution has been sued, Florida's been sued, everybody's been sued, I feel sued. And we went from certain words to what does this mean, to shall, to may, to this, to that, and it's like, you know, does Florida really even exist? And it's like, what is absolute? There's no absolute laws anymore. Perjury, it's okay. You can do it. It's all right. You can do all kinds of things now. You just change the meaning of words. But thank God we can hold up our Bible, which the world laughs and scoffs at, but you know it is the absolute truth. And the truth is, humans can debate it all they want. It doesn't change it. The laws may change, the judge may change, the courts may change, but God's word will never change. She says concerning the Lord, For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. His strength, his truth, it never changes. The third thing that we see is that it's not up to human powers. What is? God's way of waging war. In verses 3 and 4, she says, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Who does the strengthening? God does. Those who are mighty and arrogant and proud. And they mocked, the proud did, they mocked Hannah. They made fun of her in her barren womb. Her own household made fun of her. She says, hey, God weighs the actions. He knows what your motives are. And the bows of the mighty men, they're broken. God breaks them. Man, that's trust, isn't it? I love it. It's not up to human power. When God decides to wage war, it's not up to human strength. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Go ahead and get all the tanks and all the aircraft and all the nuclear bombs and align them up against the church. Say, what are you, stupid? All we have to do is set off a stick of dynamite and blow this place up. That's not what I'm thinking. You can set off a nuclear bomb right here and it changes and alters nothing in the spirit. Did you know that? You can blow the building away and you can blow my skin away, but you can't change the spirit of who I am. And you can't change the fact that I am living forever in Jesus Christ. And when we pray and when we worship, it sticks. It's eternal. I love how God gives us hints about this. We can make a bomb that costs $30 million, strap it onto the undercarriage of an aircraft, and drop it somewhere, and in seconds, it's obliterated, right? $30 million strapped to a plane, which is disposable also, and you blow it up and it's all gone. I love how God speaks to us about how temporary things are in this world. You can spend $30 on a bomb and it's gone in a second. Well, yes, that's because it's designed to blow up. Of course it's designed to blow up. But after the explosion, you still have the enemy to deal with. There's still a material world to function and to attack you with. In the realm of the spirit, when we pray, when we worship, there is a war that no military strength on earth can combat. As long as there's time, we can pray. As long as there is a lost soul, we can pray. It's not up to human powers. When God wages war, he doesn't need to depend on the Pentagon or Kremlin or anything else. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is of this earth, or fleshy, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow, how does that happen? Because our weapons in this war are not of this world. I love this story. Some of you remember this, Gehazi. He was the assistant to Elijah, the prophet. It's in 2 Kings 6, if you want to turn there. 2 Kings 6, verse 13. 2 Kings 6, 13 says, therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. There's a battle that's being amassed. And the enemy is sending these troops. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, this is Gehazi, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Did you get that? Listen, it's just two guys, Gehazi and Elijah, and they're surrounded by the entire enemy army. So when his servant goes outside, he freaks. And Elijah, Now, in my mind, Elijah, he's rocking. He's got a corncob pipe, maybe a straw hat. I don't know, maybe he's whittling on something, you know. And Gehazi comes flying up, dropping stuff, lands on the porch and says, "We're in trouble. The enemy has completely surrounded us." And Elijah says, "Lord, oh boy, open his eyes. Gehazi, those that are with us are more than those that are with them." Now that guy had to look at Elijah and say, "Are you nuts?" He saw none of that stuff. He saw none of it. And when Elijah says, "Lord, open his eyes," the spiritual veil was opened. There was a world in front of him that he was not aware of. Isn't that amazing to think right now in our nation, right now in the world, right now in this building, in our own city, there is a world where if we could grab it, we just can't grab it. But if we could grab it, we could part it. And there would be a world of spiritual activity that we could pass into. And actually, we're in it now. It's wild to think that obviously the structure of the spirit realm, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was both physical, but he could pass through things. And he could vanish and appear at will. Isn't it awesome to think that right now, between you and I, there could be an absolute war going on between spiritual light and darkness? And I believe there is. You might say, "Oh, I really want to see that." I don't think you do. You don't want to see it. It's not up to human powers. Our second consideration this evening about worship at war is that believer's path to victory. The believer's path to victory is to desire God's glory. And she says, she's continuing her prayer, verse 26. Read it there, look at it. "Oh my Lord," she says, "as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by here praying to the Lord." Remember, as the priest Eli was serving. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore," listen, "I also have lent," or given him, loaned him, gave him back, "to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be the Lord's." So they worship the Lord there. Now, that's awesome to me. The desire to see God's glory. Listen, God gives her, ladies, listen, sacrifice, absolute, incredible. God gives her a baby. She's longed for a baby. God gives her a baby, and her heart is so right on. Honestly, I don't understand this. This to me is the greatest worship. She takes the baby, and she gives the baby back to God. She's going to take the baby to Eli and leave him there, dedicating him to God. She's going to go home. Because she loves God so much and she loves that baby so much, there's nothing better for her to do. There's nothing greater. There's no greater thing that she could do. She loves God so much. She loves the baby so much. What do you do? If you love God so much and if you love your child so much, there's only one thing you can do. And that's to give your child to God. It's better to give your child to God than to lose your child to the world. Because Eli lost his sons to the world. Why? Because I believe, I know it's a stretch, but I believe that the two differences that we're seeing here is a child's life dedicated to God via worship versus, or in contrast to, a religious family not holding the things of God dear and sacred, and the children being left to themselves to be brought up as they would. Easy mistake to make. When the things of God become common and we become complacent. The believer's path to victory begins with a desire to give God the glory. And she does it. I believe it's important, especially for young people, to see things in the world, see things in our nation causes your eyes to be opened. Especially as a believer, it causes you to become, I think, a little bit sober and in a way somewhat somber about how we have viewed things and how materialistic we can become and carnal we can become. And I thought about this. The believer's path to victory begins with the desire to bring God glory. And I thought about the glory of men. The glory of men. And I've been to the Kremlin in Moscow, Russia, and I've touched its 1,400-year-old walls. The glory of an empire. It's fading. Paint is fading. The paint's chipping. The bricks are falling. Glory is fading. I've been to Buckingham Palace. And it's fading. They got to go out there and paint it all the time. Not the palace itself. It's made out of stone, but all the little trimmings and stuff. Because it's getting old. It's fading. The Kremlin? Mm-hmm. Buckingham Palace? Yeah. It's falling apart. Been to the White House? Been in the White House? You have? Yeah. It's an old building. It's a lot smaller than I thought. Falling apart. The glory of men, it's fading. Been to the Pentagon. The Pentagon's got to be cool. It was the old, it looked older than anything else. The glory of our might. We are mighty. We are America. We'll blow up anybody who messes with us. And man, we're walking through hallways and stuff, and it's like, what is this place? Walmart looks better than this place. It was pathetic. But see, the thing is, if you go there thinking, man, I'm going to see my tax dollars at work, you're going to be disappointed. You really will. The glory of men, it's fading. Listen, Hannah desired to see God's glory. It never fades. We live in such a temporary world. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, the scripture says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Hey, did you hear that? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You ever been to a wonderful orchestra or a beautiful pageant? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for us. Where? When? Let's go. It's in heaven. It's going to be fantastic. 2 Corinthians 12, I love this. Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, Paul says, I know a man, he's speaking about himself, he's just humble about it. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Don't panic. The third heaven is where God lives. The second heaven is the celestial space. And the first heaven is the atmosphere that you and I live in, the atmosphere where birds fly, then there's where the stars go, and then there's the presence of God, the third heaven. Paul says, I got caught up there. And this is when he was stoned to death. He sees, well, he doesn't know if he sees heaven or he went there himself. He doesn't know. But he says, God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, that is, words that cannot be explained, or he could not explain correctly or rightly, which are not lawful for a man to speak. Too glorious. What is heaven? Just forget these stupid programs that say, you know, Johnny got hit by a train and he had an out-of-body experience and he saw heaven and he's taught, now he wrote a book about it. Don't even waste a nickel. If he starts saying, well, you know, heaven's like this. Paul the Apostle says, heaven is so great. Human words cannot articulate. There's no vocabulary. Isn't that great? There is no dictionary. There's no language on the face of the earth that can formulate a word with a definition that applies to what you see in heaven. Oh, man. You see why we want to go now? Yes. Say, man, I wish you would. I wish I would too. Yes. The believer's path to victory begins with the desire for God's glory. And she had that desire. She wanted to see God glorified and blessed. And so she gives her son to the Lord. She honors him. There's no greater place. Psalm 27:4. Greatest prayer in the Bible, in my opinion, Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, not any earthly temple. Psalm 96:8. Give to the Lord the glory due his name, and bring an offering. Wow, could that be our children? And come into his courts, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The believer's path to victory is to trust God's plan. God had a plan for Hannah. She said in verse 6, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave. He brings up. The Lord makes poor. He makes rich. He brings low. He lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Who does? God does. Why? He's got a plan. Listen, we need to go quickly on this, but listen, God has a plan. The believer's path to victory begins also with trusting God's plan. God's plan in your life. Listen, are you rich? That's God's plan for your life. Are you poor? That's God's plan for your life. Boy, this wouldn't go over good on some programs, huh? See, why can't we all be rich? I don't know. I've already asked that question too long. It just doesn't happen. Why can't everybody be just like fine in the church? Because you know what? Personally, this is my thought. I believe that God brings people in financial need in the body of Christ to every church to test the hearts of all those who have more than that person or that family. I believe if you're a family here tonight and you're in need, you have been divinely placed by the plan of God in this church to test our hearts, to see if we will be moved with compassion to share what we've been given by God in our own lives, to bless those that are around us. If a church does not do that, that church is blind like the Ephesus church. Blind like any other church that has become wealthy, or a Laodicean church that has got goods but cannot see, and in fact has become naked, poor, wretched, and blind.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Worship at War. It's a look at parts of chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel. In fact, it's such a large portion of Scripture that Pastor Jack delivers it in a series within a series. And that means that we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget to visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. That's where you can, well, do a lot of things, like hear past editions of Real Radio. You can email your questions to Ask Pastor Jack. That's, of course, our Friday feature here on Real Radio. You can learn about our Real Radio resources. It's really a terrific way to stay in touch with everything that's happening right here with Real Radio. Plus, you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional. I personally love this thing. And we think you're going to like it too, so get it in your email box right away. In fact, Real Radio listeners are subscribing every day and letting Pastor Jack know how Words to the Wise is really playing a part in their scriptural knowledge and their growth as a believer. Here's what one Words to the Wise subscriber has to say. Pastor Jack, I know that there are many godly men preaching the Word of God, but I've been truly blessed and fed by your sermons and your Words to the Wise devotionals. Thank you, and may God bless you. Well, as you can imagine, Pastor Jack really loves getting words of encouragement like these. I mean, who wouldn't? Subscribe to Words to the Wise. Just visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right there that says Devotional, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.